head still spinning over that N'Keal Harry interview, the one in which he said he really believes he's not getting past the Cardinals at number 33 in the second round of the draft on Friday. We continue to talk about the NFL draft as we go into the 3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, turning our attention now to Josh Rosen and the latest speculation about potential landing spots for him, with a special extra emphasis, it would seem, on a couple of teams, the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. Let's start with the Washington Redskins, where you sent me a link to a story on the New York Post today suggesting that Dwayne Haskins is crashing into sudden Redskins solution. The idea that he might be falling in this draft and he might be the preferred target of Washington with the 15th pick in this draft, should he fall to them, that would certainly take them out of the equation, you would think.
I've never heard such little fanfare on quarterbacks not going, not the first, but the second, third, fourth best quarterback in a draft. Locke, Jones, Haskins, it's amazing the lack of fanfare. The lack of anything with these guys is just shocking to me. It really is. But there's a couple of different things here. If the Washington Redskins are focused on Haskins at some point, and they've turned their attention away from Josh Rosen, does that mean that Josh Rosen's not available? It's the first thing I thought of. Does that mean that it's that he's not available? If their focus is on Dwayne Haskins, look, I think most evaluators and experts would agree that Josh Rosen is a better talent than Dwayne Haskins. I think they would. I don't think there's anybody that's an expert at doing this stuff that would say, okay, right now, if you could have one or the other, who would you rather have? And they would say Haskins. But if the Redskins are focused on Haskins and not Rosen, can it mean that Rosen's not available? That this whole thing is just a play? You know, they're not going to take Kyler Murray and they're going to keep Rosen and go in a different direction?
Something that may or may not back that up. Diana Russini from ESPN.
Diana Russini.
I believe she is covering Washington for ESPN going into the draft. Said today,
let's start with the rumors that we're hearing that there is a trade in place for Josh Rosen with Arizona, and I'm told from sources with the Redskins organization, this is not on the table. This is not something Washington is even flirting with. So we go back to the draft. They've got that 15th pick quarterback. That's what I'm hearing inside this Redskins building here in Ashburn, Virginia.
Is that not on the table because the Redskins are not sitting at the table, or because Josh Rosen has not been placed on the table? We don't know.
Might not have been placed on a table.
We don't know.
I mean, might not have been placed on the table. I mean it's simply.
You can't be interested in something that's not been made available. Right.
Right. I mean, right. It's not on the menu.
Now,
am I going to order it?
Peter King, when he was on Doug and Wolf earlier in the week, had said, look, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm waiting until the last possible minute to start letting teams know that I'm trading Josh Rosen, if indeed that's the path you're going down. Because I'm waiting until Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and then I'm starting to call people, because the minute. And we've said this for a month now. The minute word gets out you're trying to trade Rosen, everybody knows what you're going to do. Everybody knows what you're going to do. So if Rosen has not yet been made available, and he's going to be, tonight's the night you got to start picking up the phone and making those calls if you're Steve Keim, right? Maybe late tonight to try to avoid it getting out. But if
Could you have waited till this last second To gauge the interest in Josh Rosen?
I imagine, here's what I imagine has happened, okay? I imagine GM of, let's say, the New York Giants, Gettleman, calls Steve Keim. Hey, you guys trading Rosen? I don't know, man. We're considering lots of options. Well, if you do, you know, keep us in mind. Let us know. I might be willing to offer a this or a that. Okay, good to know. Thanks. Then a couple days later, you field a call from the Washington Redskins, and they say the same thing. Hey, what are you guys doing with Rosen anyway? I don't know, man. We haven't really decided yet. Okay, well, just keep us in mind when you do, and we'd be willing to offer a this or a that. Oh, okay, good to know. Thanks. So you've got a little list of teams that surely by now have reached out to you and have at least tried to find out, what are your intentions? What are you going to do?
Now, what are you prepared to do?
And then tonight, you pick up the phone and you start calling them back.
Okay, we're ready.
And we're ready. We're ready. And this is what we want. Yes or no? No, too rich for my blood. Okay. And you call the next team. Hey, what do you want? Maybe. Let's talk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can have very preliminary, non-specific, non-binding conversations. And then tonight, okay, what are you prepared to do? Are we going to get this done or not? Sort of thing. Or maybe Josh Rosen is not on the table, never was going to be on the table, was never a possibility at all. That's a very real possibility, is that when this is all said and done,
Josh Rosen isn't going anywhere and was never going anywhere. That's possible.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. At this point, 24 hours before the draft, we do not have any clear indication that there is a team out there that is in discussions with the Arizona Cardinals on a trade for Josh Rosen.
Nope.
We thought by now there might be a leak, that somebody might get word out that this team is in discussions with the Cardinals and it's going to be a second and a fourth round pick for Josh Rosen. And you know, and the Cardinals are insisting on a second and a fourth and a third next year. But there is no indication, which means that everybody's done a really good job of this. There is no indication of any teams out there, not even no teams of league. Forget about the Cardinals side of it. I mean, if it's the Redskins or the Giants or the Broncos or anybody else, there is no indication that Josh Rosen is available to any of these teams.
Yeah, Grant Paulson is the host of the Grant and Danny Show at 106.7 The Fan in our nation's capital. He does Capitals pre-post. He does hosting work for the Redskins as well. He tweeted out about an hour ago that he just talked to a Redskins source who told him that Dan Snyder has, quote, taken over the first round of the draft.
Oh, close quote.
And that the last time that happened, the Redskins traded two future number ones and a number two to move up for Robert Griffin. Now, what that means for the Cardinals, I have no idea. But a fairly dialed-in guy in Washington is saying, hey, from what I heard, Dan Snyder basically said, the first round, it's mine. Gimme.
It's mine.
Gimme.
I'm taking it. I own this team.
I own this team. I can do what I want. I can draft who I want.
I'm not only clearing out the scouts, I'm clearing out you, GM. I am going to be the only guy in the room when we pick.
To your point, Ian Rappaport saying this about the Cardinals and Rosen.
I'm told the Cardinals have made no calls to other quarterback needy teams recently about potentially trading Josh Rosen. So if something is going on, if they want to deal Rosen, if they're going to take Kyler and move on from the franchise quarterback they traded up for last year, then it simply has not happened yet. And then maybe it'll happen on the clock. At this point, what we do know is that there have been no wheels in motion for making any of that happen.
No wheels in motion to make any of that happen.
You're going to have to put the wheels in motion at some point. If not tonight, certainly very early tomorrow morning. You'll have to find out.
Has to be tonight. You got to know. I think it's got to be tonight. Into, you got to wake up tomorrow knowing I got a deal here or I got a deal there. Or
yep.
I got no deal. You got to know. Now, there's also the possibility, as people have hinted at, that you get through the first round. If you're not happy with any of the offers, you get through the first round and you reevaluate. All right, quarterback needy teams that didn't get a quarterback, how about right now? You want to give up that second round pick?
Sure.
If not, we're going to keep him. If we don't get a second round offer, we're keeping him.
Sure.
So you call four teams that need a quarterback and want one on the cheap, and you say, listen.
For example, let's say Dwayne Haskins isn't there for the Redskins at number 15, right? That he gets picked before that. Oops, sorry. Then you call the Redskins and say, okay, well, you didn't get your guy at 15. Do you want to give up your second rounder for Josh Rosen? Again, we're all just thinking out loud at this point. We're not quite sure what's going to happen, but it is interesting to speculate on it. James Jones, face the music today. Was the move to fire Igor Kokoschkov truly his decision alone? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We're going to be talking with Vince Murata. He's live on the scene in Nashville, the Bickley and Murata Show.
They get to go all the good places.
I was just going
to
say, they get all the plum assignments, don't they?
Man.
They went to Indianapolis for the combine. They went to Nashville for the draft.
It's ridiculous.
Must be nice.
Where do we go? Nowhere.
Well, you know why? It's because of you.
It's because of me?
It's 100% because
Tampa.
Of you. Tampa.
Oh, God. Oh, seriously?
Yeah, seriously. It's your fault.
I run up $1,000 dinner tab, and you guys like think that they're going to hold this against me all these years later?
I know they're holding it against you all these years later.
That's my salary for an entire year here, Gambo.
I go out to one big steakhouse, treat some people.
You want
to
know
and
why?
You think we can't go on trips now because of that?
Yep,
You don't
know.
Think they forgot about that?
No, I just reminded them a second ago, so that's why we don't go.
Hey, why don't we send Burns again? No. Do you have any idea what the bill will be when Gambo gets back?
Yeah, you have any idea what Gambo's going to who he's going to go buy dinner for when he's there. So we'll run N'Keal Harry's comments by Vince Murata at 3:30 and get his reaction to the longtime Sun Devil fan, of course, longtime local radio guy, Vince Murata, see how he reacts to N'Keal Harry's belief that he is not going to get past 33 in the Cardinals in the second round.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, that sounds like he's got a promise deal. It sounds like it.
Sure does.
Sure
does.
If you listen to the interview, at 99% of you listening around say he's got a deal right now. The Cardinals have promised him a 33. That's what you would think.
So we'll play those sound bites for him coming up at the bottom of the hour. And if you've missed it, you're going to want to stay tuned at 3:30. You'll hear what N'Keal Harry had to say when he joined us about an hour ago. In the meantime, today, James Jones held a press conference to talk about the decision to fire Igor Kokoschkov, talk about the what they're looking for moving forward in a head coach. And he insisted the decision was his and his alone.
This is my decision. You know, I take a lot of factors into consideration, but ultimately the job that I agreed to was to make decisions for the franchise. And so the decision with Igor was mine, mine alone. And that's why it was a tough decision, because I truly do have a ton of respect for Igor.
And that nothing was dictated to him.
I can tell you that there has not been a decision I've made that was dictated to me. You know, I've always believed that I do what's right for the franchise, and I will continue to do that. And as far as stability, you know, there is, it's going to be, you know, you guys will see, you know, the work will have to be there. I'll have to make the moves that give everyone confidence that stability is coming and that we can maintain it. But all you need to know is that that is our goal. It's not as if we go into the season or into these decisions and say, let's make a decision that's going to create more chaos and instability.
I would love for somebody to give me a, you know, winter is coming theme. Stability is coming. Game of Thrones theme with James Jones there. Stability is coming. In Game of Thrones, it's winter is coming.
I've heard that.
And
yes.
it's a meme and a theme, and it's
both phenomenal. Are fantasies as well.
Right. Winter is coming. I would love to get a stability is coming Game of Thrones themes by some millennial that knows how to put that together. Game of Thrones background, James Jones, stability is coming. The White Walkers.
Which is funny. Because go ahead, Jordan. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say the White Walkers would be like Steve Nash, Sean Marion, Mike D'Antoni, Cotton Fitzsimmons.
At some point, we need to do something on who's going to die this Sunday. I mean, we really do. I we can't do it once a draft starts.
All of them. So, they're all going.
What five people are going to die? Just... Sarah, you watch the show?
I do not.
I don't either. So this is a Jordan Gambo conversation.
Jordan, you would have to put out this
week. We could still guess. I guess.
What? Give me five people that you think are going, because everybody's going to die. It's going to be a slaughterhouse on Sunday.
I don't think I think only two or three are going to actually make it. So I don't think the whole lot are actually coming back.
You think almost everybody dies?
I think John and Khaleesi, they probably survive, and maybe some minor characters.
But my favorite character is Arya. You think she goes?
She possibly could.
Oh, man.
Just do me a favor.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm being dead serious when I say this.
Yeah.
Because you're horrible when it comes to spoiler alerts, okay? I still have every intention of watching this show. I really, really do.
Don't tell you the ending?
I don't want to know who died. I don't want to hear from Jordan who died.
We might have to send you out of the room for 1 minute.
That's fine.
I want to hear everything.
I'll pardon myself because I do have every intention still of watching this show.
You might have to leave for 1 minute so we could discuss it. All right, so let's talk about James Jones.
I understand when James Jones says the decision was mine and mine alone, he has to say that. I don't believe it for a second, not for a second, but I understand he has to say that. And that's
why
does he have to say that?
To fall on the sword?
Because the reputation of the organization is that Robert Sarver is a meddler, and if James confirms that the decision was made in consult with Robert Sarver, then he needs to appear as if he is acting independent of Robert Sarver and that he's been given the autonomy to do that. Suggesting that it was a groupthink decision to fire Igor kind of undermines that. He's got to establish.
I will tell you my understanding from talking with different people throughout the organization that this was the decision was given to James Jones. Obviously, you know, he was told whatever you want to do, your choice. You want to keep him, you keep him. You want to fire him, you fire him. Your choice. I'm starting to believe, based on conversations that I had with a coach today, that they must have a pretty good feel that they're going to be able to get Monty Williams. And maybe this is why they decided to fire Igor Kokoschkov at this time. Before Monty had the second interview with the Lakers, before Monty Williams took the job, they decided, now this is a guy with a great track record. This is a guy that Jeff Bauer, hired in New Orleans.
Yes.
He hired him in New Orleans. The Suns have permission to interview Monty Williams. They're going to talk to a lot of other people. I have been told he is the lead candidate for the job.
They might have to move quickly on it. He's got a second interview scheduled with the Lakers, I believe, on Thursday was what I read on social media today. I'd have to go back and check my notes to be sure. As Amin El-Hassan said the other day on our airwaves, Monty Williams is not going to come cheap. James Jones said today that is not a problem.
No budget constraints or restraints or however you want to call it. We just want to get the best coach for this team, and we want the best staff. You know, this is important for us. Like, this is a very important time in the Suns franchise, and not once have I been limited in what I can do financially, and I don't see that changing.
Okay, Shams Charania reported the Lakers will meet with Monty Williams on Thursday for a second interview.
My understanding is that Greg Popovich has been guiding him to not take that Lakers job. That Popovich is saying that job is a disaster, that it won't be good for your career, that he is being guided by Greg Popovich. And these are people very, very close to Pop, very, very close to Pop, okay?
It's interesting to hear you say that Monty might want this job. That
spoke with the coach today, said he is very interested in this job. Very interested
okay,
in the Suns job.
All right, then if that's the case, go get him. Go get him. Be aggressive. Pay the man what he's worth. Pay the man what market value says he's worth.
You're right.
In theory, it sounds great. This organization has not exactly done a bang-up job of that the last few years. All right, and that's not exactly breaking sports news first, okay?
Can you imagine, just imagine this for a second. Monty Williams turns down the Lakers to coach the Phoenix Suns.
Sounds fine to me.
Think about this.
I know.
There's your head nod. Monty Williams, two interviews with the Lakers. They offer him the job, and he says, the hell with you. I don't want to coach the Lakers. I want to go coach the Suns.
I'd rather go coach the team that has gone through seven coaches in 8 years.
It would be the first Phoenix victory over L.A. in decades.
It would be such a reflection of how poor that organization
is
right now. I would rather go work for the team that has gone through seven.
Exactly.
I will be their seventh coach in 8 years. I'd rather work for them than you.
There is no better indication of what a mess the Lakers organization is, that if Monty Williams, after two interviews, turns down the Lakers to take the Suns job.
If that's the case, give the man what he wants. Financially, in terms of security, in terms of authority. If that's the case, give the man what he wants.
I'm going to find out what he's looking for.
Don't shortchange him. Don't shortchange him. Because if you do, you're just going to end up hiring some first-time guy again. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. Don't shortchange this.
And
don't.
I just sent a message on what's he looking for financially? What if he's... they said no restrictions. If it's $5, $6, $7 million a year, it is.
You give it to him. In the meantime, tonight's...
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Those red-hot Arizona Diamondbacks, 6-2 road trips so far, taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight.
6-2?
6-2 road trip
so far. 6-2 on the road trip. This is unbelievable. I mean, that's a great road trip.
Winners last night, 2-1 in their game over the Pirates. Luke Weaver pitched very, very well last night. Tonight's pitching matchup.
He was a dream Weaver last night.
He really was. Brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com.
The Lakers might have to call Berg Simpson because they're going to be injured if they don't get their guy.
Merrill Kelly gets the start tonight, this afternoon, for the D-backs. Game's on ESPN 620. The righty is 1-2 with a 4.37 ERA. Jordan Lyles gets the start for the Pirates this evening.
Yeah, Lyles is 2-0 with an ERA of 0.53. 17 innings pitched, 18 strikeouts. He's striking out at least a batter an inning, only with 5 walks, only giving up the 1 home run. And, you know, the Pirates, I mean, after losing those first 2 games, I mean, desperate. you know, they're 12-9. I mean, they're in the thick of things there right there. So, but Arizona's got this, just this ability to score these runs late in the games. I mean, you know, the 7 runs in the 7th the other night, 4 more in the 8th. I mean, they have the ability to come through late against other teams' bullpens. They've scored 53 runs in the 7th inning. It's a big part of their comebacks, and you know, that's what you got to worry about. It's not just about the starting pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's about what relievers can get out Diamondback hitters.
And the Diamondbacks' bullpen has been fantastic. Andrew Chafin got that nice double play ball last night. Archie Bradley got himself into trouble.
Coming around on Chafin a little bit.
Bradley got himself into trouble, got himself out of trouble. Greg Holland got his 5th save. He gave up a walk and a wild pitch, but he was able to finish that out. Yeah, coming around on Chafin a little bit. I thought he had a very uneven year last year, but it's good to see him contributing this year. Again, you'll hear the game on ESPN 620. When we come back, the buzz and the latest rumors coming out of Nashville just 24 hours away. We're going to go live to Music City and get them all next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Bickley and Murata, the show that gets to go all sorts of cool places, live in Nashville this week. Well, thanks to you.
Thanks to me.
And racking up that $1,000 dinner tab during the Super Bowl in Tampa with Rick Tockett back when he was the head coach of the Lightning.
Yeah. Were great.
We don't get to go anywhere, and Bickley and Murata get to go everywhere.
I ruined it for everybody.
Joining us, well, no, you didn't ruin it for Vince, and you didn't ruin it for Dan. You just ruined it for me. So I thank you very much I speak out of school on that one? He didn't ruin it for anybody else other than me. I don't ever get to go anywhere.
So let's have Murata go out and just drop a grand on dinner tonight. He'll be done.
What do you think, Vince? Are you going to drop a grand on dinner tonight?
That would be a substantial upgrade over my $30 dinner from last night.
Substantial, I would say. Vince Murata, the Bickley and Murata Show. They're live in Nashville for the draft, which begins tomorrow. Now, you have not had a chance to hear this yet from what we understand. This has suddenly become one of our, if not our top story of the day. N'Keal Harry was on our show about an hour ago and said, I think I had a really, really good workout with the Arizona Cardinals last week, and then dropped this one on us.
Obviously, my main goal is to be a first-round pick, to be a first-day pick. But if, for whatever reason, I do end up slipping to the second round, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
All right, a follow-up question that was asked, and then, Vinny, I want to get your reaction to this. This was Gambo asking a follow-up.
Have you been told or given any indication that if you are there at 33 that they will take you?
I can't really say too much. But just from the workout I had, and, you know, like I said, I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
As a longtime ASU observer and Cardinal observer, what do you think about that, Vinny?
A couple of things, actually. First and foremost, I love it because I love N'Keal Harry, the football player. I think he'd look great. How great would the marketing possibilities be for Harry and Larry?
Oh,
that's fantastic.
Sure, the Harry and Larry show, yeah.
They need, obviously, playmakers. They added one last year in Christian Kirk. They still need more. I think he fits that bill. But, you know, my other thought on this whole process for the last 4-plus months, we've been talking, well, ever since the Cardinals locked up the first overall pick, we've been talking about how buttoned up all the information has been from the organization, how tight the circle has been with Steve Keim, Cliff Kingsbury, and Michael Bidwell. Nothing has slipped out. And the day before the draft, the most concrete thing we have to go on is from N'Keal Harry himself. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I just, there are promise deals made in other sports, right? We know in the NBA that there are promise deals made. Do you believe that it's possible that a promise deal is made in the NFL at a pick that late?
I think it's possible because even though Gambo is outside the first round, I mean, they controlled day two of the draft as well by being at number 33. And there's no possibility there, as the draft pecking order stands right now, there's no way they're going wide receiver in the first round, and it's still a very high need of position. And you know, I heard all the same thing. I heard N'Keal Harry's quote just there, and read a lot of the same things that the Cardinals really liked his workout. So I think it's possible that that could have been done, sure.
Something else to consider with this, too, and we didn't play this cut, but he did mention teams that he's heard are interested in him. He mentioned the Raiders. He mentioned the Ravens. He mentioned the Colts. He mentioned the Eagles. He mentioned the Packers. Well, we're looking at the draft right now. The Ravens, 22. The Raiders, 24. The Raiders, 27. The Colts are 26. The Eagles are 25. Green Bay is 30. A good way to try to get in the first round, and he did specifically mention, hey, I'd rather go in the first round. I want to be a first-round guy, is to create an amount of buzz that you might go first thing in the second round. So if you're a team thinking about taking N'Keal Harry in the first round, you might be more motivated to do it now if you hear he's not getting past 33.
Yeah, definitely. But the wrench that gets thrown into that for me is just the similarities and quality of prospect at the wide receiver position. I don't know if there's really a consensus number one overall guy. If you're talking about Hollywood Brown or DK Metcalf or N'Keal Harry, and there's a couple other guys in that group as well. That's what makes it really interesting. So even those teams like the Packers or the Raiders toward the tail end of the first round, they do need wide receivers, but it might not be N'Keal Harry that they have their eye on. That's another interesting thing to look at, in my opinion.
Vince, I don't know if you've got the lay of the land there in Nashville yet, but I'm sure you're talking to a lot of people doing the show at the radio station. Tomorrow, you'll have more, obviously, on Radio Row, but is there any buzz at all? Are you picking up any signs or hints of what may be going on?
It's funny. We were talking about this a little bit on the show today, and we got into Nashville late afternoon yesterday, just kind of had a meal and went to downtown for a little bit. The lack of buzz just for people talking about it, there was almost none. The only thing that I could really consider along those lines is Benjamin Albright had a tweet today where he said, "Nashville is fun. Have yet to run into any person who doesn't believe Kyler Murray's going number one."
Nashville's fun, Kyler Murray number one. Okay.
Yeah, so, like you said, Gambo, tomorrow when we get to the NFL Experience and Radio Row, even the radio station that we were at today, 102.5 The Game, most of their staff was out on remote doing shows remotely, so there wasn't a lot of people to talk to there either. So there's really hasn't been too much buzz.
All right, Vinny, I just found a spot for you. It's called The Hatchet. It's a 30-ounce, 55-day, dry-aged tomahawk ribeye for $115. Just check with Hatch, and he said to me, no problem, you guys deserve it. Jeff Ruby Steakhouse in Nashville. Jeff Ruby Steakhouse. They've got a 30-ounce, 55-day, dry-aged tomahawk ribeye for $115. You and Bick, go eat The Hatchet. Go get some Alaskan king crab legs, maybe some scallops on the side, and just go crazy, man. Go crazy.
Yeah, is that your official advice? Because I would rather take the advice of the boss who stopped me on the way out of the office before I went to Indianapolis on the whole steak issue.
Did you get a lecture beforehand?
No, he's like, hey, enjoy yourself. Don't go crazy on the, don't have steak every night.
Sure, sure. We call it the Gambo talk around here.
I was not aware of the $1,000 Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. No, there are people around here who lost their jobs because Gambo went and spent $1,000 on dinner during Super Bowl week 10 years ago. So
just one night? Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why we don't get to go anywhere, Vinny. We're stuck in the studio here. We never get to travel because Gambo apparently believes that this whole station is his personal spending account.
Because Tockett had to get like two bottles of wine. Maybe it was three.
Let me put it to you this way. My Indianapolis trip, because of a clerical error by the hotel, I ended up paying for the hotel out of pocket. And even with my expense account, it wasn't as much as Gambo's dinner.
Well, Vinny, keep it on the cheap down there, all right? We're all on a tight budget here.
I was just feeling jolly.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, but I think I got a fried bologna sandwich in my future.
I heard you talking about that today. It sounds good.
30 ounces.
Can't wait.
All right, Vinny. Thanks, man. We look forward to your show tomorrow.
All right, take care, guys.
Vince Marotta joining us live from Nashville. The Bickley and Marotta Show live tomorrow from the NFL Draft from 10 until 2 here on 98.7 FM. FM, Arizona Sports Station. We've got the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android.
You can listen to the Nikhil Harry interview.
You can listen to the Nikhil Harry interview. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. So he thinks he won't slip past the Cardinals with the 33rd pick, but will Nikhil Harry still be on the board after the first round of the NFL draft? Something we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo show. Nikhil Harry, the ASU wide receiver, joined us earlier on the show. Says he does not see himself slipping past number 33.
You feel really good based on your conversations with them that they would not let you slide past 33.
Correct. And just because of I know what I did during the private workout. I know the kind of performance I put on. So, and I'm from Arizona. So I'm about 95% sure if I'm there at 33 and they're still at that pick, they're going to pick me up.
Now, like Vinny Murata, I had also heard that the workout with Arizona went very, very well for Nikhil Harry.
Yeah,
I
got
very well for
confirmation on that for sure.
So he's got, and he did that, what, 2-3 days ago? So he stopped short of calling it a promise, but he certainly made it sound like it was, hey, we're not going to let this happen. If you're there, this is probably what we're going to do, sort of a thing. It's funny because we were going to talk about Nikhil Harry today, but we were going to talk about him in the context of this tweet that came from Pro Football Focus.
The love-hate relationship.
Yes, we do.
Right? I mean, it's not today. It's a hate relationship.
Today it's a hate relationship.
And it is a hate relationship because, honestly, like, this is absurd. Like, this is, like, pure stupidity that Pro Football Focus would do this. I mean, it's I don't know if it's just that. Did they ever watch a... They have Nikhil Harry ranked as the 8th best wide receiver in the entire draft.
Here are the wide receivers...
Have you watched a game?
...that they have ranked above Nikhil Harry in their final wide receiver rankings for the 2019 NFL draft. DK Metcalf 1, AJ Brown 2, JJ Arcega-Whiteside 3, Andy Isabella 4, Marquise Brown 5, Hakeem Butler 6, Deebo Samuel 7, Nikhil Harry 8.
8th best wide receiver. All the indication that I'm getting is that he is somewhere in that 3 range, 3rd, 4th, somewhere between the 25th and 46th pick taken in a draft. I think I would be floored if he was the 8th wide receiver taken in this draft.
Yeah.
This is the love-hate relationship we have with Pro Football Focus. They literally list 8 players, including another Pac-12 player. Like another Pac-12
and
player.
And Arcega-Whiteside, the Stanford wide receiver. Yeah.
Ahead of him. It's just, listen, I mentioned that the Cardinals like A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That they do like A.J. Brown. I do not believe that the Cardinals are as high on DK Metcalf as every other team in this league is.
Really?
Yes, I do not believe that they are as high on DK Metcalf as others. A.J. Brown is a guy they really, really like. And A.J. Brown could be the pick in the second round, or it could be Nikhil Harry. Those are the two wide receivers I mentioned as possibilities with the second round pick. I also mentioned 3 offensive linemen, but I did mention 2 wide receivers. The 2 wide receivers I mentioned are not Whiteside, not Isabella, not Marquise Brown, not Hakeem Butler or Deebo Samuel. It was Nikhil Harry and it was A.J. Brown.
In the meantime, Diamondbacks are getting ready to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. And because today it is Wednesday, it is time for our clubhouse call-in here on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Clubhouse Call-In with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford. Proud partner of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Visit SandersonFord.com. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Our Clubhouse Call-In. Every week here on the Burns and Gambo show, we get a chance to catch up with one of the Diamondbacks players coming off their game the night before. And nobody we'd rather talk to at this moment right now than Luke Weaver. 6 1/3 last night, 6 hits, 1 run, struck out 7. He joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Luke, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you all for having me.
Good to have you on again, Luke. Really appreciate it. Another great outing by you. 4 quality starts in a row. You seem to have found your rhythm. What's working for you right now?
Well, I'm just trying to breathe through my eyelids and just keep things simple. So, basically it.
Yeah, ERA down to 3.33. You've struck out 24 batters in the last 22 innings, so you're finding a way to not let these guys put the ball in play a whole lot. The strikeout pitch has been real good for you. The fastball looks good. Looks like you're mixing speeds up and changing speeds, and even your off-speed stuff looks real good right now.
Yeah, I'm very confident where I'm at. Like you said, just things are clicking all at once right now. I'm just trying to maintain and keep a hold of it. And more than anything, just trying to get to two strikes and being able to finish guys, whether that's in play or via strikeout. So it's just trying to maintain that mindset.
Your manager after the game, Torey Lovello, talked about the swagger that you had out there on the mound. Is that something that you're aware of? Is that something that you've always had? Is that something that comes with the success you've had so far this year? Do you feel that when you're out there?
I don't know the way it looks, but I know the way I feel, and I'm probably pretty angry out there just trying to make pitches. And, you know, early in the game, it was a grind, so just had to try to minimize, and then towards the back end, just kind of hit a groove. And from there, it's just, you know, when you can keep your confidence high and be convicted in what you're doing, then everything just kind of comes together. And that's all I was trying to focus on. And whatever it looked like, I guess that's just how I was feeling.
The familiarity that you have with Carson Kelly, both coming over in the big trade, I mean, how has that worked for you, having getting the pitch to him every 5 days?
Yeah, super easy transition. Obviously, we've been doing it for a while. It's just, he knows what I do out there. He knows, you know, he can see things as far as mannerisms. He can see just the way I'm attacking. If he needs to, you know, fly me across the face, he'll do it. But, you know, there's just a great communication level on our part, and something that it's hard to establish right off the get-go with guys, but we've been doing it for a while. So, it's been a huge plus in that area.
Luke, coming over in a big trade like that for a star player, how often do you look back, maybe to see what Paul Goldschmidt's doing or just what your ex-teammates are doing that you played with for the Cardinals? Do you often look at the box scores and follow up with that team?
No, I try to focus on what we're doing over here. You know, the baseball is always playing on TV. I think they were playing today. So, I mean, and I'll watch some of the game and just, you know, check in. And I talk to some of those guys here and there and check in, see how they're doing. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got friends and, you know, they're still family. You know, we got what we're doing over here is just where our focus needs to be. And, you know, we're playing good baseball right now. We just got to keep going.
Luke Weaver, Diamondbacks starting pitcher, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, our clubhouse call-in segment. We do it every single Wednesday. We talk with one of the D-backs players. How do you feel? It's been a few months now, obviously, with you and your new teammates. How do you feel like you fit in with the culture around here?
I feel like it's been going really well. We've got a lot of great personalities on this team. Some funny, some... you know, quirky, some serious, like it's just a great mix. You know, everybody brings something to the table, and I feel like I just kind of fit right in there. They made me feel welcome, and you know, all the friendships just skyrocketed. I feel like we're all best friends, and we're going to have sleepovers and build sports.
Going back to being like 8 years old with sleepovers and forts and marshmallows and stuff like that. Hey, you know what? For you starting pitchers, this bullpen has been really good. We're seeing a lot of bullpens get whacked all throughout baseball, yeah. And your offense has killed a lot of bullpens. How confident do you feel when you have to turn the ball over in the sixth, seventh inning that you've got a bullpen that's going to close the door for you guys?
Oh, super confident. You know, when I came out of that game, I knew it was a situation where, you know, they felt like I needed to come out, and I understood. You know, as a pitcher, you just kind of understand where the game's at. Knowing, you know, a guy like Chapin was coming in, it was just a no-brainer that he was going to get a double play there, get the next guys out, and obviously he throws the one pitch, and you're just sitting there laughing, scratching your head, thinking, man, I've gone 2 hours pitching this game, and he just made it look that easy. So, you know, it's a great back end in the bullpen. They're doing their thing. Guys are swinging the bats. I mean, not yesterday's game. Obviously, it was a tight game, but the game before was just so crazy to watch our hitters just boom late there in the game and just score, I think, 7 in 1 inning. So there's just a lot of firepower in that lineup and a lot of firepower in the bullpen.
Well, Luke, we appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes. Best of luck to you guys the rest of the road trip. We will talk to you when you get back, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all having me, and talk soon.
That's Luke Weaver joining us in the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. When we come back, he was the only one not to show. Will today's charity no-show hurt Kyler Murray's draft stock in any way? Talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.